ते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 4, The Characteristics of Rishabhadev, Text Number 4. So we'll just do the word for word transliteration. These are in prose. Nabhi, King Nabhi, to certainly. Yata abhi lashitam. According to his desire. Suprajastvam. The most beautiful son. Avarudhya. Getting. Ati pramoda. Of great jubilation, bara, by an access, vilaha, being overwhelmed, gadgada aksharaya, faltering in ecstasy, gira, with a voice, svairam, by his independent will. Grihita, accepted. Naralokam sandaram, acting as if a human being. Bhagavantam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purana Purusham, the oldest among living beings. Maya, by Yoga Maya. Vilasita, bewildered. Mati, his mentality. Vatsa, my dear son. Tata, my darling. Iti, thus. Sa anuragam, with great affection. Upalalayam, rising. Param, transcendental. Niritam, bliss. Upagata, achieved. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Due to getting a perfect son according to his desire, King Nabhi was always overwhelmed with transcendental bliss and was very affectionate to his son. It was with ecstasy and a faltering voice that he addressed him. My dear son, my darling. This mentality was brought about by Yoga Maya, whereby he accepted the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Father, as his own son. Out of his supreme goodwill, the Lord became his son and dealt with everyone as if he were an ordinary human being. Thus, King Nabhi began to raise his transcendental son with great affection, and he was overwhelmed with transcendental bliss, joy, and devotion. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The word Maya is used in the sense of illusion. Considering the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be his own son, Maharaj Nabi was certainly an illusion. But this was transcendental illusion. This illusion is required, otherwise how can one accept the Supreme Father as his own son? The Supreme Lord appears as the son of one of his devotees, just as Lord Krishna appeared as the son of Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. These devotees could never think of their son as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for such appreciation would hamper the relationship of parental love. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vanchakalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. So we're reading characteristics of Lord Rishabhadev. And we read how King Nabi, being very fortunate, took shelter of the Brahmanas, good guidance. And the Brahmanas were very pleased by King Nabi's sincerity and devotion. And these Brahmins were very qualified, very exalted. And by their purity, Krishna is known as the friend of the Brahmanas. Even when there's any performance, any sacrifice performed, like yesterday we had a little Bhumi Puja at the Bhaktivedanta Eco Village. So after the yajna, after performance, they fed the Brahmanas. Because Krishna eats actually through the mouth of the Brahmana. So these learned scholars, saints, gave guidance to the king, and under the direction of the King Nabi, they worshiped the Supreme Lord so sincerely that they called the Lord, who's not some impersonal being in the clouds, or simply something of somebody's imagination, but the Lord personally appeared before the Brahmanas, and they all felt very happy, very ecstatic that the Lord appeared, but they felt a little bit, well, you know, you're so wonderful, you're so great, and really we shouldn't be just praying to you just for this King Nabi's desire to have a son. But King Nabi's desire, just like Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, Devaki, Vasudev, they performed tapasya, austerities, they performed sacrifices so they could get the Lord as their son for devotional service. They actually wanted to serve the Lord in that relationship. There are so many relationships in this world. You know, Shanta, Dasya, you know, we're all, there's servitude, friendship, parental love, conjugal love. There are many relationships described in the nectar of devotion, how we can relate to the Lord, because the Lord's unlimited. So the Lord, Krishna, appeared in the form of Lord Rishabhadev. Actually, King Nabi was very fortunate, and Lord Rishabhadev appears, and here is described that Nabi was covered by yoga maya, by illusion, and it's described that the child is actually born from the heart, although it's the genitals and semen are used, it's described that the consciousness that the parents have developed this garbhodhan sanskara, this performance of varnashram dharma, following the scriptural rules and regulations, and preparing oneself and performing the necessary austerities, then one receives a son from the heart. So we heard how Vasudev, Krishna, appeared from the heart of Vasudev into the heart of Devaki, and then appeared in the prison house of Kamsa. So the Lord is very merciful. Paritranayam sadunang vinashaya chaduskritam. He comes for the pleasure of the devotees. It's not that Krishna does not appear. He appears again and again for the purpose of giving happiness to his devotees and to annihilating rascals and miscreants and re-establishing religious principles. Although, when we look around, especially in this age of Kali Yuga, we can see that people are not following religious principles, that things have degraded. King Rishabhadev will, later in this chapter, instruct his 100 sons. Very potent. And he instructed all of his sons how to become proper administrators. Bharat Maharaj, Bharat Varsha, Punya Bhumi, actually this land of Bharat, Bharata Bhumi Te Holya, Manusha Janma Jara, Janma Sartaka Kori Kara Parupakara. Lord Chaitanya recognized that this land of Bharat Varsha, Bharat Bhumi, is a pious land because of the sacrifices performed, the yajnas performed. And so, Lord Rishabhadev, he instructed his sons, Bharat being the eldest, and then there was 9 others who became Mahabhagavat. They were instructed, or they preached the teaching of Srimad Bhagavatam. They're actually better than the Brahmanas and better than the Kshatriyas, beyond the Varnashram system. Then there were 81 also very qualified, perfect Brahmanas born to Lord Rishabhadev. So the examples are being given in Srimad Bhagavatam, first of all by King Nabi, desiring to have the Lord appear in his family, take birth as a son. So all of us are wanting to again awaken our relationship in Krishna's family. It's like in the earlier days in the 70s, there were a lot of hippies, and Prabhupada would comment how even though they had wealthy parents, nice household, cars, money, opportunity for good education, the finest clothing, they just gave it up and somehow wanted to experience life on their own. So Krishna, in the spiritual world, we've left that place where there's the servant, there's service, and the served. Krishna is the supreme served, and all of us are his servants, and the activities that go on there are acts of service. But somehow or other, the famous somehow or other, we've fallen from the spiritual kingdom. There are many philosophical debates whether we were ever in the spiritual world or come from the Brahma Jyoti or this or that. But my understanding from Prabhupada is that we've fallen from the spiritual world. We eternally have a relationship with Krishna. He's our father. And in this particular case, King Nabi became the parent. And so Yoga Maya, Maya's influencing everyone. Everyone's in Maya. Devotees are in Yoga Maya so they can actually serve Krishna and care for him with love and devotion, and sometimes chastise Krishna. How can you chastise God unless you're really in Maya? So you have to be covered to some extent to have that relationship. Krishna, he likes that, but don't think that, oh, I'm in Yoga Maya, I will, you know, chastise God, I'll chastise Guru, and this is my Yoga Maya. Now, people in this world are generally covered by the illusion so they can forget Krishna, forget their rightful home in the spiritual world, take a material body, get covered with a mind, get covered with senses, with polluted intelligence, and then all the endeavors that this little body can muster up are focused around how can I be Krishna? How can I be the enjoyer? How can people, you know, people should serve me and worship me? It's described that the emperor, King Nabi, although had full facility, after he performed his sacrifice of giving birth, his wife actually gave birth, Mira Devi, to Lord Rishabhadev, then he renounced everything in this world. So the examples are there. It's not that from the beginning of birth that we work hard, we try to enjoy to the topmost, and we get frustrated until the last days and we wither and die. But we should utilize the human form of life for tapasya, for austerity. And that austerity becomes very enjoyable for those who cultivate knowledge, jnana vairagya. So jnana is coming from Srimad Bhagavatam, from Bhagavad Gita. And what is Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita? It's coming from Krishna. Krishna, he is the original. Lord Brahma is the creator of this world, but through the potency of Krishna. Krishna's in the heart of everyone, giving guidance, remembrance, forgetfulness. And so, that pastime, when Krishna was playing with the cowherd boys, and Balaram and their friends were a little bit mad at Krishna, they told Mother Yashoda that Krishna, he's eating dirt. You know, he's acting very foolishly, he's eating dirt. And Mother Yashoda, Krishna, why are you eating dirt? Sit down here, let me open your mouth, let me see. And so, upon opening his mouth, Mother Yashoda saw the entire universe, unlimited planets and Varat Rupa, and she became completely bewildered. Okay, just don't do it again. So immediately she came back to her motherly position, not saying, oh my God, this is, you are God himself, and then becoming fearful and not serving Krishna. Every day she would make a beautiful lunch for Krishna, make sure that he's eating and stayed healthy. So all of us have that natural feeling of affection towards our children and caring for them. Otherwise, everyone would just discard their, and no one would take care of their responsibilities. So our responsibility is to awaken our Krishna consciousness. Our duty in this human form of life is to awaken our desire to go back home, back to the spiritual kingdom. And no matter how much we think that there's some pleasure and enjoyment in this world and endeavor for it, somehow or other we're always frustrated and disappointed. But the mind is very strong and the intelligence needs to be purified. There's this process given to us by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this chanting of the holy name, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's a very powerful medicine. It's the Golokher Premadan Harinam Sankirtan. From the spiritual world, this medicine has come. And Lord Chaitanya saying, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, Gaura Chandra Bole, wake up, sleeping soul. How long will you sleep in the lap of the witch called Maya? So we're all in a very dangerous position, and it's described that many, many lifetimes It may take many lifetimes of endeavor before one can come to the human form of life. Material scientists, the Darwin theory that life comes from matter. So in one sense, Prabhupada said, there's some truth in that, because there's dull matter, there's dirt, stone, and then comes trees, plants, vegetables, then comes the little creatures like snakes and worms, then you have other, you know, birds, and then animals that may have more intelligence, on and on. And then there's a few human beings, but most of the human beings are considered very low and lacking intelligence. So from all the different species of life, of living entities who are entrapped in this world, undergoing, we're actually attached to samsara, this repeated cycle of birth and death. We may think right this moment, oh, I'm not attached to repeated birth and death, I want to go back to the spiritual world. But who is willing to take that and apply himself? Just like everyone would like to become a millionaire or a very powerful person, but only those who actually put forward the endeavor, really make the endeavor. Of course, there's karma involved, whether one is successful or not successful, but generally, in anything, if you want to become a great artist or a writer or a musician or anything in this world, takes practice. A lot of practice, generally speaking, takes practice day in, day out. Sometimes classical musicians, they practice 10, 12 hours a day, every day, and get instruction from different teachers and are very diligent. So we are pursuing the highest goal, the highest truth, and we're fortunate enough that in this human form of life, we've had many human forms of life, but just recently Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared once in a day of Brahma, 311 trillion years. That's a long time. Do the mathematics. So just recently, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, and the six Goswamis are just here. They've cultivated, they excavated Vrindavan, Radhakund, Govardhan. And we're fortunate enough to go see Radhakund and Govardhan. And we're fortunate enough to be here in Krishna Balaram Mandir. Prabhupada says everything is within the boundaries of this Krishna Balaram Mandir. You have Govardhan on the altar, Radhakund, Shyam, the whole spiritual world is here, taking darshan of Sri Sri Gornitai, Sri Sri Krishna Balaram, Sri Sri Radha Shyama Sundalita Vishaka Devi, staying in the association of devotees, having the guidance of Mahabhagavat, pure devotee, Prabhupada, so mercifully sitting all day here, waiting for us to surrender, giving us instruction, encouraging us to chant the holy name, beating us. You not only distribute my books, but you read the books. You read them very carefully every day. And Prabhupada said, in Vrindavan, many devotees are chanting 120 rounds, 64 rounds, 32 rounds, okay, at least 16 rounds. And we get so proud, we think, I finished 16 rounds. Great accomplishment. And it is a great accomplishment. It is very, very wonderful. But just see how tiny and how insignificant we are. But also, we have a duty. We're part of a mission, a movement. Movement means something's taking place. So Srila Prabhupada, he could have very easily stayed in Radha Damodar Temple of Vrindavan. He was being appreciated, Bhaktivedanta, great scholar, sadhu, realization of Radha and Krishna, realization of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, six Goswamis. But he was not satisfied just to sit. He wanted to deliver Krishna to everyone. He wanted to deliver the mercy of Chaitanya Lord Nityananda, to everyone, because this is a symptom of one who's advancing his spiritual life. Titikshava Karunika Suhrida Sarvadehinam. He's a friend to everyone. He's very merciful, very tolerant, and very enthusiastic to preach, to give Krishna consciousness. And this is what Lord Rishabhadeva was doing. King Nabi, by his austerity, produced, asked the Lord to come. The great Brahmins performed a sacrifice. So all of us are performing some sacrifice. Srila Prabhupada, under Prabhupada's guidance, Prabhupada performed such a sacrifice, such austerity, such tapasya. One devotee was saying, oh, it's still so cold here. I'm not used to the cold. But we just envision Prabhupada in his little dhoti, in plastic shoes, in New York City, snowing, cold, living in the Bowery with all drunkards and smelly bums and no money, no so-called family or guidance. No one would help. So Prabhupada would always be very thankful to the devotees, saying, "You, all of you have helped so much in spreading Krishna consciousness. My Guru Maharaj has sent all of you to help me in this mission of Krishna consciousness." So this is the mood, and these are the activities of a great soul. So what austerity are we performing? Go see breakfast. Every day I was taking a few devotees to breakfast. Got nice khichdi, 2-3 sabjis, chapatis, hot dal. And one devotee said, "Wow, this is wonderful, fabulous. This is Prabhupada's mercy. He's given us temple. He's given us good association, good devotees, enthusiastic devotees. Now we have to choose our company. We make good choices. We make bad choices. We can sit in the corner criticizing everyone, finding fault with everyone, how this one's, you know, fallen and this one's, you know, a rascal and fool, and only I'm the good guy. Or we can sit and hear Bhagavatam, hear Gita, encourage one another in our devotional service, appreciate what Srila Prabhupada has given us. I'm sure that you'll appreciate prasadam because devotees are doing a very nice job. And this is also Prabhupada's special formula. He says, you have come because of prasadam, yes? And you have also came because of prasadam. So prasadam is mercy, but also this prasadam has a special flavor, a special medicinal effect. And it's actually our mentality also that we say prayers and we worship and we want to honor prasadam. So Mahabhagavat, one needs to serve and take shelter. The sadhu, he is there for the purpose of spreading Krishna consciousness. He goes to the home. Sannyasi actually has a license for begging. Not that he's a beggar in the terms of, there are a lot of professional beggars. They just want to make some money. But Mahabhagavat goes to the home, and one who's cultured and follows Vedic culture, he offers nice seat and offers nice gifts and prasad and gives some donation. But what does the sadhu do? He enlightens, because that enlightenment is necessary, because 99.9% of us are entrapped in this desire to have good family. Man is interested in woman, woman's interested in man. Then we have family life. Then we have to work hard to have apartment, vehicle. Then it's time, you know, when you get married, you want to invite thousands and thousands of people to see what kind of opulence you have. Or Prabhupada says that you work really hard, have a first class apartment, then you want to invite your friends to see how successful I am. I've done well in this material existence. But ultimately, time will destroy everything. Old age and disease will take our youthful beauty and our vigor and our strength for enjoying this world, and everything falls apart when we read the story of King Puranjana, how all the soldiers, the senses, the life air, everything, and then the fire, the fever, burns everything, that you cannot stay in this body, you must leave this body. And yang vapi smaran bhavam tyajat yante kalevaram. Whatever thoughts we have at the time of death, and these thoughts are orchestrated by our activities throughout our life. We're doing things every day. We're saying and endeavoring in so many ways. So now our words, our thoughts, our association, everything should be focused and geared to molding our consciousness, so that at the time of death we can remember Krishna. We can remember Krishna Balaram. And we need to start having that relationship now, just like we have deity worship every day. Pujaris are there offering, making offerings. Devotees are making their offerings, sitting, chanting the holy name, and even sitting in class. This is non-different than associating with the Lord. The Lord is there where the devotees have gathered and are performing sacrifice. And this is a sacrifice. Somebody thinks, well, I'd rather be out playing, you know, soccer. Nothing wrong with sports. My son loves soccer. Nothing wrong with, you know, having some sporting. Krishna had sports. Krishna and the Cowherd Boys would play games. But at the same time, we don't want to be frivolous. Be with devotees. Be in the spirit of utilizing this human form of life for Krishna. Then Yoga Maya will guide us. We'll see Krishna, he's my worshipful Lord. I am Krishna's servant. Krishna's my friend. He's a friend of everyone. You know, also we see sometimes people bring little Gopal in the basket, and they're like the parent. They're taking little Krishna around in various places. And then the mood of the gopis, we cannot imitate. But Krishna, he's not some dry personality. You know, he has all kinds of experiences. Everything that's experienced by everyone, it was originally experienced by Krishna. Even some things that are perverted in this world, we think, oh, how can Krishna be angry? Yes, Krishna was angry. He brought the chariot wheel ready to kill Bhishma. He became angry. We think, oh, God can't be angry. So we try to limit God, what he can and cannot do, as if we're the you know, super intelligent people who can try to box Krishna into our little limited understanding. Krishna is unlimited, and he's unlimitedly merciful and kind. And we should see that he sent the Goswamis and Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Gaurakishore Das Babaji, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami, and all of the sincere followers of Srila Prabhupada who are trying to somehow help carry out this mission. So we need help to get free of illusion. The Daivi Hesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratyaya Mamivaye Prapadyante Mayami Tang Tarantite. This divine energy, this illusion, is very difficult to overcome. But one who surrenders to Krishna, he can easily cross beyond it. And that surrendering process is given systematically by Srila Prabhupada. It's not some high, just esoteric philosophy that no one can really grasp. But Prabhupada practically showed. He actually put a sari on to show the Matajis how to, this is how you wear a sari. Well, is that a guru's business? Prabhupada performed the marriages himself. This is not necessarily the guru's business. So Prabhupada taught us how to be clean, how to properly behave, so we can come out of the dirt, the muck of Kali Yuga, of illusion and darkness, and have a little glimmer of light of Krishna consciousness, but keep the association of the devotees, follow the regulative principles of Krishna consciousness. And if one is in battle, imagine Kurukshetra or other battlefields where there's swords flying and arrows flying every which direction, people are losing heads. Would you be inattentive at that time? Let down your guard maybe? The knives are coming, you know? So this is the condition of us in this material existence. We're in a battlefield and Maya is throwing all kinds of weapons at us, and Krishna's giving us the weapon, the shield, the sword, armed with knowledge, isn't it? So we have to fine-tune our weaponry by fine-tuning our intelligence by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. And we know that famous story of the 300 Spartans that they took on tens of thousands of others. I think they made a lot of movies, isn't it? The 300 Spartans. And they bond together very tightly, very closely. And practically speaking, they were wiping out tens of thousands, and there's only 300. And because they actually had a strong bond, friendship, watching each other's backs, and also encouraging one another in the battle against the illusion, they became victorious. And that, in that sense. So there will be casualties along the way. There may be some disappointments, but we should not think, oh, the process doesn't work, because look at that person, he was such a great general and he went down. Yeah, sometimes generals, captains, lieutenants, sergeants, privates, everybody from A to Z is struggling with this battlefield of Maya. And Maya will continue to test us and punish us accordingly. And that punishment should be encouragement that, yes, I don't want to stay in the lap of illusion. I want to get free of illusion. My life will be finished today, tomorrow, very soon. So utilize all the time, all the energy that we have to serve Srila Prabhupada, to spread Srila Prabhupada's mission, and to somehow cleanse our own heart and our own mind by the process of chanting the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I have a friend, and he was president in Miami, president in Calcutta, personally served Srila Prabhupada as a nurse, was very successful in business, had many big businesses, dealing with not little money, big money, and all kinds of experiences. And he felt, it all gets taken away. He felt, what is the use? My friends are not there for me. There's no happiness in this wealth, no happiness in so-called mundane material relationships. So what is the use? And then somehow he's inspired by the chanting of the holy name. There's street sankirtan, so he's helping now in street sankirtan. And just that simple, as Srila Prabhupada did, sat down in Tompkins Square Park under a tree, chanted the holy name, and by his purity and determination to please his spiritual master, so many came, and because of the endeavors of all the pioneers, we're all, how you say, enjoying the fruits of all of their labor. And so now we have to labor so that future generations can also appreciate that, oh, what all of those that served in Krishna Balaram and Mayapur and all the world temples for the endeavors that they put forward, now we are fortunate enough to have the opportunity of devotional service, serving the deities, taking prasadam and the holy name. So Srila Prabhupada ki. So any questions, comments? We have a few minutes if anyone has anything to say. You don't have that portable microphone anymore? You don't keep that available for class? You should keep it available. Any questions? Yes, Prabhu, Gopalji. I mentioned that to achieve Krishna consciousness, like a battlefield.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so we see sometimes that the devotees, they become spiritually injured.
Right. Here comes a microphone behind you. Here, give it to him. This way, I want to repeat everything. There it is. Behind you. Say again.
So you mentioned that becoming Krishna conscious is, or the attempt to become Krishna conscious and survive the onslaughts of Maya is like being on a battlefield, and that sometimes devotees may become spiritually injured. They may fall away, have some sort of spiritual difficulty. And we see in the battlefield that we understand, in the material world where someone is fighting, they fight very hard, especially if they're on the front lines, and they get injured, they're celebrating this great hero. But sometimes we see in Krishna consciousness, someone fights very hard and somehow they get injured by the weapons of Maya, but they're not celebrated so much as a hero. They're just remembered for, whatever, letting their guard down, creating their injury. So can you comment on that?
I think it's the mentality also of the individuals. Now we have developed like a devotee care. I think devotees are appreciating more and more the struggle that is there in trying to encourage those who have been injured to come back, stay in the company of devotees. So it's due to immaturity that we say, oh, look at him on the battlefield, he went down. But he fought very valiantly, and he actually contributed to the battle in many ways. So all of us, I'm sure, have some scars here and there, climbing the ladder, maybe miss a stair and fall down a few notches and try to get back up again. So we should, no matter how it was in the past, live in the present and see that everyone is a brother in arms. We're all brother and sisters. We're all working together to try to advance in Krishna consciousness. And all we can do is pray for one another and help. Not that we say, oh, it's okay. It is Krishna, he's seeing everything. He's witnessing everything. But just as Lord Rishabhadev told all his sons that you all cooperate together, you work together, and I think that mentality of appreciating one another should be fostered or should be cultivated. And I see there are many groups, the GBC and the many other groups are trying to encourage this devotee care. So devotee care means from always those who are active, those who are in good standing, those who are so-called in bad not in good standing. We should encourage all to get healthy in Krishna consciousness somehow. Yes, Prabhu, Sankarshan. Here, forward.
On the battlefield of there's different aspects of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and sometimes we'll see someone grasp onto one aspect of it, but they'll forget the other, like the other side. So for example, if someone's offended and they grasp onto the aspect of the philosophy, we say the offender should, you know, apologize, become free of the offense. They'll be looking for that and grasp onto that, and they forget about why should be forgiving, you know, for someone who's apparently is an offense. And we see that that can be taken down, you know, that type of absorption. And so if that's a sign of a lack of sincerity or lack of intelligence, or, you know,